The Holy Gospel appointed for the second Sunday in Lent is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.' O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Gracious and merciful Father, today you challenge us again not to be like the people of Jerusalem who refused to listen to Jesus, so that Jesus wept over them because of their unwillingness to believe and accept him as their Messiah. As Jesus cried out saying, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together, and you would not." Therefore, Heavenly Father, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts and minds today, so that we may always believe, confess, and accept Jesus as our Savior, and share the good news of the gospel with those who are still lost and dying without Jesus as their Savior. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The words that I would like to share with you today is taken from the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 13, with special attention to verses 34 and 35. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is the word of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, a personal Savior and the Lord of our Christian life, if I were to ask you this morning, do you remember the last time you wept and grieved over the loss of a loved one? Think about it for just a moment. Yes, when was the last time you wept and grieved the loss of a loved one? I'm sure all of us remember. We remember how we wept and cried and grieved the loss either of a spouse, a child, a parent, a grandparent, and sometimes even a very close friend or neighbor. And every time it happens to us, it hurts us deeply, doesn't it? Yes, it does. It brings tears to our eyes. We suddenly feel the tremendous loss of someone we loved and who loved us so very much. We miss their presence, their smile, their words of wisdom, and many other wonderful things about them. And especially how much they actually did for us. which we just took for granted. Sometimes just little things. Taking out the trash, paying the bills, washing the clothes, making the bed. Or even for that matter, cooking a meal, going for a walk, or watching television together. Whatever it is, we miss these things they used to do with us and for us. But most of all, we miss their love and their concern for us. Sometimes I still weep and grieve quietly at the loss of my own father and mother. Even though they have been gone now since 2007 and 2011. As a matter of fact, I miss talking to my father about theology and about the Lutheran Church since he was also a pastor. And I miss especially his counsel, his words of wisdom and great understanding. He was always a very good listener and offered me very good counsel and advice, which I appreciated very much. And I know that Ruth also weeps and grieves quietly at the loss of her father and mother, as well as her youngest sister, Susie. And I'm sure that is also true of you. It is true of many of you here today who also weep and grieve quietly the loss of your own loved one or your loved ones, and how difficult it might have been for you to cope and to adjust and to go with life without them. For most of you here today, it has been the loss of your spouse, right? Or your parents. You probably also miss something very special about them. Their presence, perhaps, their smile, or whatever else you remember about them. And that's precisely how Jesus felt over the people in Jerusalem, even though he didn't know everyone by name or anything else about their families and friends. And yet Jesus loved them as his own family. And he cared about each and every one of them very much. And even though some of the Pharisees came to Jesus and told him to leave, get away, for Herod is trying to kill you, Jesus stayed. Jesus was not about to leave them because Herod threatened to kill him. They stayed. But what is even more amazing is that the people Jesus loved and cared about so very much initially shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Were the same people who later on also cried, saying, crucify him, away with this man. And yet, in spite of their accusations, Jesus still continued to love them and to forgive them. And why? Because he wanted to save them from their eternal destruction. The words of Jesus from the cross, as he was suffering and dying with nails piercing his hands and his feet, and the crown of thorns embedded deeply into his head, as he cried out saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And that was also true of Jesus as he cried out with love and compassion over the people of Jerusalem. This is what Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." As a matter of fact, Jesus went on to say, "Behold, your house is forsaken because of their refusal to listen to him." They were unwilling to believe and accept Jesus as their Messiah. Instead, they wanted Jesus to be their bread king, to become their new king of the Jews who would save them, not from sin, death, and the power of the devil, but save them from the legalism under the religious leaders in Jerusalem and the tyranny under Caesar in Rome. So this brought a lot of tears, sorrow, and grief to Jesus. The same kind of sorrow and grief Jesus felt for Mary and Martha when Mary knelt before Jesus saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." As a matter of fact, as soon as Jesus saw the tomb where Lazarus' body was laid, he wept. Yes, Jesus wept with real tears in his eyes as he finally said, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out walking and was alive again after having been dead for 4 days. Well, that same love and concern Jesus also has for us. When we have tears, when we weep and we cry, especially at the loss of our loved ones, Jesus will always be there for us, and Jesus will comfort us with his unending love and compassion during our time of grief and sorrow. Jesus gives us hope and the promise and his assurance, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Yes, we have the hope. We have the promise, his assurance of one day seeing our loved ones again in the kingdom of heaven. But here Jesus was concerned more about the people of Jerusalem who did not have that same hope you and I have, that same promise, assurance of ever seeing their loved ones again, or even for that matter, being saved to the kingdom of heaven because they did not accept Jesus as their Messiah. And that should be our concern today. For those, just like the people of Jerusalem, who still have not accepted Jesus as their Savior, because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, unless they believe in Jesus as their Savior, they will ultimately be lost to the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, they will find themselves in the same predicament of the rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. And at his gate, there was a beggar, a poor man, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from this rich man's table. And one day both men died. Lazarus was taken into heaven, but the rich man did not, as he found himself suddenly in hell. And from hell, remember, he cried out in agony, anguish, pain, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Unfortunately, it was too late for him. Not because he was rich. There's nothing wrong in being wealthy and rich. But because he didn't believe in Jesus as his Savior and relied solely on his wealth and his possessions. As a matter of fact, Father Abraham replied to him saying, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received all these good things, while Lazarus received the bad things. Now he is comforted here, and you are in agony." Unfortunately, it was too late for the rich man. But it's not too late for those who are still living among us. Just stop and think about that for just a moment. Yes, it's not too late, and there is still time for them to accept and believe in Jesus as their Savior so that they won't find themselves also in hell with a rich man and not with us one day with Lazarus and all of our loved ones who have preceded us in death in the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, it could be someone in our own family. Think about that. It could be your neighbor, a good friend that you've known for many years. Yes, someone in your own family. I have one in my own family that bothers me. And I continue to pray for that person, hoping that they will come to receive and accept Jesus as their Savior. Yes, may God the Father bless us and preserve us through His Holy Spirit, that Jesus doesn't have to weep and grieve over us today, saying, "Oh, Lutherans, Lutherans, at Shepherd in the Pines, because we believe and accept Jesus as our Savior." But sad to say, that's still not true of many others around us, even in our own community. Many who don't have Jesus as their Savior, as He continues to weep and to cry over them, saying, oh people in the Big Bear Valley and in the state of California, how often would I have gathered your children together and you would not listen? Yes, we are saved to the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus doesn't have to weep over us. But unfortunately, Jesus still continues to weep over those who are not saved to the kingdom of heaven. And how important it is, brothers and sisters, that we continue to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they eventually, hopefully, one day will come to accept the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus as their Savior. The words we sang in one of the hymns today, Jesus is Lord. He bears our shame, nailed to the cross, His peace proclaim. His sheep and lambs with blood He bought, for lost and straying He has sought. Yes, Jesus is Lord. He calls from sin to turn, repent, and come to Him. Place all your trust and hope alone in Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Yes, remember the last time you wept, you cried over a loved one. We all remember, don't we? And it still hurts. And we quietly grieve and still remember them in our thoughts. And Jesus continues to weep today for many, just like the people of Jerusalem who don't have Him as His Savior. So share the good news. Pray for them in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be and abide with us all unto life everlasting. Amen.